You're tuned in to La Onda Bajita on KPFA. This is the Tierra Alerta. I'm Tara, bringing you the latest on what's happening with Mother Earth and the crisis around the globe affecting the planet. And we're joined tonight in studio by Chelsea Page Colon and Marcus Page Colon. They both work at the Catholic Worker Earth Abides Farm, which is a retreat house for folks that are HIV positive. And they're joining us in studio tonight, though, to talk about their work at holding vigils at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab. And the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab is one of the primary nuclear weapons lab, really, in the world. So, Chelsea and Marcus, thanks so much for joining us on La Onda Bajita.
Thanks for having us, Tara.
Thank you, Tara.
You know, Chelsea, I've known you for, I think it's about a decade now, or maybe even more. And I know we first met here in Berkeley when you were a student. And I was actually working at the time with Tri-Valley Cares. And we started organizing together around the UC's involvement in nuclear weapons. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what sort of first drew you into the nuclear weapons issues?
Well, when I was a student at Berkeley, it shocked me to learn that Berkeley was the manager of the nation's nuclear weapons laboratories. And while I was a student, the UC was bidding to keep the contract for the laboratory and actually ended up partnering with Bechtel to do so. And then after college, I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Marcus and I began vigiling at Los Alamos Lab, which is the UC and Bechtel's other nuclear weapons research lab. And since the partnership with UC and Bechtel, the management of the lab has gotten even worse than I expected as a student with UC. The managers there now are making enormous salaries, getting millions of dollars of bonuses. But something great has happened at Livermore Lab in the past few years because of pressure from Tri-Valley Cares and other watchdog groups, the lab has actually lost its security clearance to have full-scale bomb-usable amounts of plutonium at the lab. So Marcus and I, now that we are Catholic workers in California, we're vigiling at the lab once a month to really encourage lab workers to realize that the lab is at a crossroads and that it can go in a really positive direction.
Because right now, I think it's somewhere, I'm not sure the exact percent. I think it's for Livermore Lab, maybe around 88% of their budget goes directly to weapons activities. So even though they don't have that high clearance to work with weapons grade plutonium, they still do a lot of bomb work every day in reality and weapons work.
Yep. And they're trying to bring nuclear bomb cores from Los Alamos to Livermore to test them and send them back. So it's like they have plutonium envy. They're not allowed to have their own bombs. They're trying to bring them from New Mexico. And, you know, Marcus and I just moved from New Mexico. We made that two-day trip on the highway. It's not a safe highway for trucking bomb cores. We really don't want to see that happen. We'd like to see that 88% of the budget redirected to environmental cleanup of the Livermore community from all of the contamination from the nuclear weapons there, and then other just more life-giving science.
And Marcus, how did you first get involved in, I know that you've done, I mean, you do a huge amount of social justice work, both in your role as a Catholic worker member, but more deeply really have dedicated your life to social change. Why have you focused on nuclear weapons as part of that?
Yeah, it's interesting. My activism started, excuse me, in the 1980s in the pro-life movement and about prenatal human rights. And then as I looked more deeply into what causes human fetuses to be killed, I realized there's so many environmental causes. So my pro-lifeism expanded to include life for everybody, you know, and taking care of people, and especially trying to stop the hazards that are causing people to suffer and to be killed. And so the nuclear threat is one of the hugest threats of the 20th century and still the 21st century. So in 1997, I came out to the Nevada test site and worked with Nevada Desert Experience and the Shunda High Network to try to honor the Native American land rights and also to bring attention to what was happening with the nuclear cycle and the fact that so much money is being spent on nuclear weapons in Nevada. Chelsea and I are both on the board of directors with Nevada Desert Experience, which has been doing faith-based vigils out there since the early 80s. And so we help create these peace walks that happen every year. There was one usually during Holy Week, and so I was out there a few weeks ago for that. And then in that walk, we also stop at Creech Air Force Base, which is the home of the drone warfare. So we have civil disobedience there and also at the nuclear test site. And it's a prayer journey and a way for people to be in touch with the goodness of the desert and to connect with each other and as a temporary nomadic community and talk about how we can do better as a society and as individuals to stand up for peace and environmental justice.
And on sort of your journeys, I mean, both of you, it's sort of a unique experience because you are journeying at these sites of really weapons of mass destruction and have sort of an intimate experience with the landscape. What, you know, in your time that you've spent at the Nevada test site, which is Western Shoshone land, with the time that you've spent out at Los Alamos, which is an incredible, you know, there's a lot of beauty to that land, which is also highly contaminated, and there's, you know, extreme amounts of weaponized work, and, you know, there's a lot of indigenous pueblos around it.
The Tewa people were, it was their land, and it still should be their land, and it was taken away during the Manhattan Project, and that's still an unresolved issue for their sacred sites right next to the laboratory.
Yeah, tell us a little bit just about your own sort of journeys on these, on this, on the lands that you've gone through that are now colonized by nuclear weapons.
Well, in a real way, we are guests at those sites. The Native peoples whose lands that is have been leaders in the anti-nuclear movement, inviting people like us to come and witness and learn. And I just find that in the Catholic worker movement, we find so much that those peoples who have experienced violence, such as, you know, folks with HIV, folks who are poor, homeless, indigenous folks who have had their land stolen, those people know what our society is about, and they are the leaders. And for Catholic workers, in many ways, they help us understand what our faith should be about solidarity with all those who are crucified.
Yes.
And here in the Bay Area, you know, in Berkeley, we're about 35 miles just west of the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab. And you've been out there and relocating back to California. I know that you're in the foothills of the Sierras. Still, you're making an effort to organize a presence at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab. Tell us a little bit about the vigils that you hold, the interactions that you're having with lab employees, and just what it's like to be out there.
Yeah, it's really a good thing. I've always believed, even if there's only one or two people standing and holding a sign on a street corner for to let people know that, you know, people that are driving by that have no connection with the lab in this case, and especially for the people that are driving into the lab, to let everybody know that there are some people who care about protecting the environment and stopping the violence of nuclearism. So in terms of the interactions, there's about 1,000 people that pass us each time we do a morning vigil, and about almost half of them are going into the lab. And so when we've got our sign that says Disarm Livermore and redirect the 88% of the budget, we get, you know, it's like other peace vigils that I've been at. Most of the people ignore you or don't look, and then about like 5 or 10% are thumbs up, and then a few less percentage is thumbs down or making faces, you know.
But we're committed to going every month and to inviting others to join us, because what we found from comrades in New Mexico who have vigiled on a very consistent regular basis at Livermore and at Los Alamos Lab and Sandia Lab in New Mexico is that the consistency of the witness and the fact that we're making it a part of what our life is about it does have a long-term effect in terms of opening the possibility for relationships with the workers. There's, I think, a level of trust that's built when you're coming every week or every month, and you're showing that it's not just what you're against, it's something that you are sort of putting your life toward in a way.
And there's a lot of people who, I hope that everybody has a conscience. I know that sometimes that's impossible biologically for a few humans, but for my, you know, working with people that have disabilities and my understanding of how that works, but most people have a conscience. And when all these people are driving by or going into the labs, there's so many times that people are interested in exploring this issue. And so one of those examples is when somebody actually stops their car, gets out, takes a picture. That happened once at Los Alamos, and is teary-eyed and thanks us personally for being out there as a representative of what's happening. You know, so people care about these things, and not everybody's courageous enough to actually come and talk to us. But the point is that it's good for the witness to be happening at these places, so that any stranger or anybody that's actively involved can follow their conscience or can think more about it and recognize that they're not alone.
And when's the next time you're holding a vigil?
That's in May, on Friday, May 3rd.
And we vigil from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. At the Westgate entrance of Livermore Lab, which is at the, well, sort of the intersection of Westgate Drive and Vasco.
And if people, is there any way if they want to get more information, if they're interested, maybe some folks out there want to know more about, the desert witness walks through the Nevada test site that you're part of as well, how can people get more information in various forms?
For the witness in Nevada, it would be nevadadesertexperience.org. And at the for our Catholic Worker Farm, it would be catholicworker.biz.
catholicworker.biz, and they can contact you on that website and get details about the vigil you're doing in Livermore as well?
Yeah,
yes.
That website links to our press releases, and then also the Tri-Valley Cares website, which I think is trivalleycares.org, has been really helpful to us, and they have an events calendar where the vigil is also posted.
Yeah, and they have more technical information as well.
And so, I mean, but you all are living out in the Sierra Nevadas right now, and you're spending most of your time out there running retreats for people that are HIV positive or have AIDS and really supporting that as part of the movement. And yet you take time every month to come out to Livermore to hold these vigils. Why is this issue so important that you're organizing in that way and taking that effort and connecting with nuclear weapons workers couple hours away from where you're homesteading?
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but the day after Chelsea and I were married, we were arrested at Lockheed Martin trying to communicate with the employees there as part of our honeymoon witness. Just it's from the beginning when we met at the Nevada test site in 2005 on the 60th anniversary of the bomb to all of our relationship and the situation that we have as partners in a marriage, and recognizing the need for people in our society to take better care of the future, whether or not people have children, we all are part of this society, and the children are the future, and so we need to be protecting the land and the people from the spiritual violence of nuclearism.
Yeah, the Catholic Church teaches that marriage is an institution that's for family, and we really resist those privatized politics, and we see our marriage as being something that we've entered into for the human family, and it's kind of romantic, but we really would also enjoy people to join us out there that we can grow community, because it's, you know, we're new to living out way out in the country, up in the mountains. So it's important to us to build community and re-enter our communities in California. And, you know, probably we're, even though we're way up there, we're probably in the fallout zone in some way.
Yeah.
You know, Livermore Lab affects, millions of people here in Northern California. So
yeah, we're 3 hours by car from there, from Livermore, where we live at the farm, is a 3-hour distance by car, and it's still the biggest threat that we can see to our society and the future of this region. So that's why it's important for us to spend 1 hour a month vigiling there. And coming up in October, we're going to have a faith, farming, and resistance retreat at the farm that we're bringing other urban gardeners and Catholic worker farmers to come and talk about the integration of nonviolence in terms of the direct action, special event kind of thing of showing up at a vigil or even civil disobedience at a site of violence. That kind of special event direct action integrated with the lifestyle direct action of gardening and seed saving and working to protect the land and to be able to feed people. That kind of direct action lifestyle being integrated with special event direct action is what this faith, farming, and resistance retreat in October is going to be about.
You're tuned into La Nueva Bajita. I'm Tara. This is the Tierra Alerta. We're in conversation tonight with Chelsea and Marcus Page Colon. They are with the Catholic worker Earth Abides Farm in the Sierra foothills. And in our last just minute, we're almost out of time. You know, you've been talking about your work in both the anti-nuclear front, in terms of larger social change at the Earth Abides Farm. In terms of your life work for social change, what do you feel is your guiding force?
Well, this is so cheesy to say, but I mean, my guiding force is Jesus Christ, the one who came to be with all those who are persecuted and oppressed and marginalized, and who was crucified the way our earth is crucified, and then rose and is, you know, living. And when, you know, we're in the Easter season, and when Jesus was resurrected, he didn't come as a ghost. He came as a human being who wanted to cook food on the beach for his disciples. And so just, you know, being with people, building relationships over dinner, you know, building community, being, you know, enjoying our time on this planet and recognizing how sacred it is. I have for that a model that I'm really grateful for.
Yeah. As a Catholic anarchist, I also agree fully with what Chelsea was just saying, and understanding who the person of Jesus of Nazareth was and his sense of trying to help everybody become more empowered, whether it's empowerment over physical ailments or empowerment over social injustices in that society in Palestine. You know, that is my guiding force, the message of the social justice gospel.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Chelsea and Marcus Page Colon, here on La Onda Bajita. I want to give thanks to Michael Yoshida for help on the board, Mr. Chuch, always keeping it, Miguel Gavilan Molina and Pedro Reyes. I'm Tara Darabji. Keep it locked.